So the catechism question and answer for this week are, what is the duty which God requireth of man? And the duty which God requireth of man is obedience to his revealed will. If you will learn these things, then you will be ahead of where I was at any of your ages, except for Mom. I grew up in a church culture in which there are two things that we strived after that are incompatible or inconsistent with the actual teaching of Scripture. One is that we had this duty to sort of tune in God's secret will for our lives, that if we were walking with the Lord well enough, then we would just know what decisions he wanted us to make all the time, not just in things of righteousness, obviously. Righteousness according to his word is something that you would be able to discern, but where to go, what to study, what jobs to take, where to move, whom to marry, and then a thousand other lesser decisions like that. It was almost like to mess up Deuteronomy 29:29, which is what we were doing. We were messing that up. The secret things belong to those who are really in tune with God, so that they will know what to do. And the revealed things belong only to those other losers who aren't as spiritual as the ones who have a secret channel by which to tune in the secret things. No one would have said that in that way, but that is a pretty accurate description of how spirituality was viewed. And it was a consequence of growing up in a church, a denomination called the EPC, where there is a charismatic sort of element in their thinking, which in God's mercy is one of the things that the ARP voted last week to write to and talk to the EPC about, that the Synod is concerned about. But if you have a better view of Scripture, the view, of course, that is actually in Deuteronomy 29:29, you say the secret things belong to God, but the revealed things belong to us and our children, that we may do all his law. His law is his fatherly instruction. It recognizes that God is a good father who tells us what his expectations are. There are things that he is going to do, but we don't need to know what all those things are, because he is the one who's going to do them. And there are things that he wants us to do, and he tells us what those are, because he wants us to do them. So that's one thing. The other mistaken way of thinking from when I was a kid growing up in a well-meaning but not very well-instructed church situation was that ordinary obedience in the course of life was okay, but people who really wanted to serve God had to do things like give up everything that they have and go overseas and be a missionary, that somehow being a godly, upright husband, wife, father, mother, child, employee, employer, that those things are not as spiritual or good as some of these other pioneering type works in which you set aside ordinary obedience for this extraordinary obedience. That, of course, is to forget that you can't be more righteous than God has called us to be, and marriage and the family and daily employment are institutions of God, and there is no such thing as children of the first Adam, as offspring of the first Adam, as ordinary obedience. All obedience for us is extraordinary and can only come from and through union with the last Adam, the Lord Jesus, and by his Spirit, applying his mind and his life and his character to us. So the duty which God requireth of man is obedience to his revealed will, which is first of all to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So repentance and faith, to turn from your sin to Christ, because not only is forgiveness something that you can get from Christ alone, but obedience is also something that you can get only by faith, only with union with Christ, only from union with Christ. Whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. And it is glorifying and honoring to God to be upright in marriage and in parenting and in childing and as an employee or an employer, so that you see in Ephesians 5 and 6. Ephesians 5 starts a thread of thought about being light against darkness, and Ephesians 6 picks that thread back up in describing the spiritual warfare that believers are engaged in, and the place where the spiritual warfare takes place, the place where we are light against darkness, is in ordinary participation in the congregation, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, which is a mechanism by which God makes his spirit to fill us instead of our being controlled by the lusts of our fleshliness, as happens when someone is drunk and loses all proper self-control. They become controlled by their impulses. Instead of that, the Lord fills us with his spirit by our ordinary participation in the congregational worship. Even the singing time, especially the singing time, we admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and we learn to submit to the word of God on one another's lips, which we had known in Ephesians from chapter 4, when he explained the reason for the ministry of the pastor teachers, so that we would all admonish one another with the word. And then being admonished by the word and learning to submit to the word of God on one another's lips. In Ephesians 5:21, we go on and we find out that godliness, light in the midst of darkness, winning the spiritual war, that takes place especially in the everyday, wives submitting to husbands, and husbands giving themselves up for the sanctification of their wives, and children obeying your parents, and parents not provoking children to wrath, but bringing them up with the discipline and instruction of the Lord, and employees and employers obeying and submitting to and serving Christ in their everyday work. And that is to say, not just ordinary life, but including ordinary life, all of life, according to the commandment of God. That is what God wants us to do, especially flowing from worshiping him rightly, which can only happen when you have turned from sin and trusted in Christ and are coming to God through Christ. So God has told us what we are supposed to do. It is really not very complex, although it is very difficult, and that is to first of all, obey the gospel, repent, and believe in Jesus. And then second of all, obey the law. Obey all of his commandments, all of his instruction for the right way of living, which can only happen by faith. So that's the duty which God requireth of man. You don't have to figure out the future. You're not going to miss God's plan for your life if a magical light from heaven doesn't shine down on the right thing to do or the right person to choose or whatever. You don't have to figure all those things out. The duty which God requireth of man is obedience to his revealed will, turning from sin, trusting in Jesus, and then walking by faith in Jesus according to his word, especially coming out of the corporate worship that he has designed for the purpose of filling us with his spirit, making his word to dwell in us richly, and then enabling us to walk by his commandments in our ordinary and everyday life.